Frank.
I think. Now, I know that you're very interested in the mail, and of the 14,343 letters that came in this week, I simply grabbed a handful off the top. This one is from Gloria Santaniello of Brooklyn. She says, "Dear Mr. Burke, you are magnificent." Of course. Here is one from whom? Mrs. Berg of the Bronx, psychedelic drugs. Am I correct, Dr. Leary?
I think that's a fair statement, Alan.
Why are you a champion for the use of psychedelics?
Psychedelic drugs are to the human mind today what the discovery of the microscope was to medicine and biological science 300 or 400 years ago. Psychedelic drugs expand and speed up consciousness. They're going to bring about a tremendous change in our society, in our view of man, and in our way of life in the future.
Well, I'll agree it'll bring about a change in our view of man. That is, if you take it, it'll bring a different view to you. How many trips have you taken? Is it correct to say trips? I've never taken one of these things, but I've heard it referred to as trips. Is that correct?
Well, the word trip comes from the younger generation, and like any folk statement, it has a great deal of meaning.
Mm-hmm.
When you take LSD, you do go on a trip. It's a voyage. It's the most ancient voyage that man has ever known, the one beyond your mind and your current tribal situation into the incredible possibilities which lie inside. So it's a fair statement to say an LSD voyage is a trip.
Mm-hmm. Now, before those here in the studio audience come forward to ask you questions, and I'm sure there are thousands of them sitting out there who want to do just that, there's something I want you to do for all of us. I want you to give me a word picture, a description of what happens to Timothy Leary when he takes LSD. Where do you go? What do you see? Will you do that for us?
I will try to respond to your question.
All
I can't
right.
possibly do it. Every minute of an LSD session is different from any other session. Every time you take LSD, and I've taken LSD over 315 times.
You've quite a traveler, aren't you?
To me, yes. You see, people say, "Why do you take LSD?" And I say, "Well, why does the scientist look through the microscope?"
I don't know that that's a good analogy, Dr. Leary.
Why does the person go to church?
Let me interrupt you, because this is the second time you've made this analogy. You compare it to looking through a microscope.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really the same? Is this a fair analogy? One looks through a microscope to see something that is small and enlarge it. Nothing artificial is used with the object on the slide to make that in itself expand. You are looking through a glass. This magnifies it. Now, LSD does something. Then you say it expands the consciousness, is that it? So there is an enlargement. You are not using a glass. As far as I'm concerned, if you gave LSD to the object, to the microbe, as it were, on the slide, then it would be a fair comparison.
Well, one often gets entangled in one's metaphors, and LSD is different from the microscope, but it's the best metaphor. Here are people who have never had this experience, and how can I explain to someone who's never had the experience what it's like? 400 years ago, if I were to come before an audience like this and say, "Do you know that around us here there's another level of reality which is invisible, which you can't possibly see with the naked eye, but with an artificial aid or with just a changing of the focus of energy, you can see there's a lawfulness, a beauty, and eventually a meaning to this microscopic world. You might at the beginning think I was insane. But if I could persuade you to look through the lens, then you say, well, you're right. Now what do we do about it?" That's the same metaphorical situation in regard to LSD. But let me go back to your question, Alan. Let me try to describe what happens when you take LSD. I've already said that each minute of every LSD session is different from any other minute. There are certain things that are characteristic of LSD sessions. One is a tremendous acceleration of consciousness. Now, we usually think in a very slow way. We think in English language, most of us. Subject, predicate, object. The dog chased the cat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, your brain, which is made up of 13 billion cells, is equipped to deal with much more material. Your brain receives about 1,000 million signals a second. And once you go beyond your mind, you're open to these thousands and thousands of messages which are whirling around inside your nervous system at each moment. There's a tremendous intensification of the senses. Your eyes become like microscopic cameras. So a person will look for a long time just at a flower, or he'll look at a raindrop on the window. Everyone, or almost everyone who's taken LSD or similar drugs, reports the intensification of vision. The world is alive. For the first time, instead of seeing just tired objects like pieces of paper and microphones, I'm seeing energy which is hurtling into the retina of my eye. Tremendous intensification of hearing, of the sense of touch. Now, for many people, this is too much. Most of us are satisfied with a rather dull and gray and static world we see around us of red lights and green lights and green dollar bills and so forth. Many people, when all of this inundation of light occurs, say, no, turn it off, turn it off. But you can't turn it off, because when you take LSD for 8 hours, for about 8 hours, you've got these microscopes, or you've got these cameras, or you've got this illumination coming, and that's where the fear and the terror comes when the unprepared person takes this experience.
The Apostle Paul, Jesus, Mohammed, Dante, Walt Whitman have all written accounts of their infinite variety of senses. This illumination that you speak of, and they did it without any artificial means, and it has happened to many others in addition to the few I mentioned. Why this sudden need for LSD or any other psychedelic or artificial means to increase awareness?
That's a good question. I think I should attempt to answer as well as I can. Every historical era develops its own religious method. In an agricultural or pastoral society, the religious rituals and metaphors were pastoral. We now live in a chemical age. Everyone who's listening or watching this program is completely dependent on chemicals. You got here with petroleum in your car. Your clothes are made of chemicals. The food you eat comes from chemical agriculture. Does it come as any surprise that we're going to use chemicals to do what we all want, and which is the most important thing, that is to accelerate our consciousness and deepen our understanding? A chemical age is going to have a chemical sacrament.
Dr. Leary, you said, if I may, you said, I think you said, increase our understanding through expanding our consciousness. Is that?
Yes.
Don't you think we can arrive at a better understanding without this expansion of consciousness?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because every adult is trapped in his mind. You can't get beyond your mind. You're trapped by the concepts that you learned in school. And every great breakthrough in religion and science has always involved a new method of bringing into consciousness what you couldn't see before. The telescope, the microscope. And you remember the fellow that developed the telescope back in Florence a few hundred years ago got in the same sort of trouble with society that we're in today. Any new instrument which opens up consciousness threatens the establishment.
Let me ask you this,
Dr. Leary. If I were to have given the telescope to youngsters in Florence about 500 years ago, they'd come home to their parents and say, do you know the world isn't flat and that the world goes around the sun? And they'd say, why, my child, what is this heresy they're teaching you at school? Lock that professor up. It's always the same
thing.
All right. The new instrument.
Well, let me ask you this, Dr. Leary. Did the presentation to the world of the telescope cause anyone to lose his ego factors? Did it cause anyone to end up in a mental institution? Did it cause anyone at all to lose touch with reality?
Well, I can't accept any of these generalizations that are implied.
Well, I can accept them because LSD does those things.
No, it
and
not.
It has done
no, it
these. There
not.
Are cases of people who have taken LSD and are presently institutionalized because of that. Now, you may say, well, they were psychotic before they took it. Well, maybe they were. But this pushed them over that one line that separated.
How do you know?
Because you said so.
I said so.
Yes, I have some of your writings that go back a few years.
I've said that LSD, like a microscope, doesn't show you anything that's not there. And if a person is extremely disturbed, and he takes LSD, he's going to see his own disturbance. But the chances are that in most cases, he will see his disturbance in a broader context and indeed will be much better.
I think the thing that
statistics on the number of casualties caused by LSD are astoundingly small. When you think that in the United States, every year, 1,000 college students kill themselves and 9,000 try just from going to college. And in the history of 15 or 20 years of LSD use, and we're told 3 or 4 million people are using LSD, there have been 3 or 4 recorded cases of suicide. I would say that LSD is preventing the expected rate of suicide.
Dr. Leary, I find you extremely clever with words, extremely clever. And I have a great deal of admiration for your being able to juggle words in that fashion. Here you...
These are not words. These are...
Yes, they are words, Dr. Leary. Here you've compared LSD to the microscope, which has been beneficial to mankind because of the scientific developments. You've compared it to the telescope. Now you say it's a preventive measure for suicide. You've compared LSD favorably and college as unfavorable. In effect, you're saying LSD is better than a college education.
Some people could be misled to believe
that, and I think this is a very clever juggling. And maybe you need some Indian clubs or something. I happen to believe what I'm doing.
I've devoted my life to this study. I'm here to try to pass on what I've learned.
Well, I will tell you later, Doctor, exactly why. That
you're making, which just aren't...
Well, that's all right. I don't agree with the mass taking of LSD. What is your name, sir?
I'm Mr. Cooper. I'm an Episcopal clergyman connected with the Diocese of Long Island and St. Paul's Church, College Point. I have come over here to ask some questions about LSD, raise a couple of problems, because unfortunately for my peace of mind, I ran into an LSD user. And he's a professional entertainer with a wife and child. And I find that the gentleman has lost an interest in his wife and child, and he's went out in the streets of the city preaching about God, and after preaching about God in the city, he preached about God to the people with whom he worked, and became quite violent and arrogant about the matter, till they had to fire him, and he now has no job at all, and is still running around in quite a happy state, and deliberately feeling the joys of God are enlightening his life, and what need he of anything else? Now, I'm just a little bit worried about this question of God. I'm quite ready to concede that the human nature possesses the capacity for an awareness of reality and orders other than those which we call our common everyday experiences. Some people attain an awareness of this order and deep and a vivid consciousness of it through a great intense amount of prayer and an intense amount of fasting, perhaps. Something that is a little unusual readies them for an experience that invades their consciousness. Now, this is all very well because the people who do this are disciplined human beings. And the outcomes of these visions that they possess, now, not all, people who take this road for enjoyment, for their personal enjoyment, and for their personal pleasure in the experience, have been warned by St. Paul, lest do not eat and drink without proper behavior, lest you eat and drink to your own damnation. And all the mystics up and down warn against a contact with God that can be completely destructive and unbalancing of personality. Now, the outcomes of the Judeo-Christian concept of a God have been the modern civilization in which our culture has produced people who have produced more control over the environment and contributed more to human comfort and the power of this earth to support greater numbers of human persons than any other culture that exists. Other cultures have been in contact with God, such as the Buddhist culture, and we find that that it's quite an ideal to get away from life, sit with your hands on your stomach and dream delightfully of nirvana and other LSD parallel experiences. And we find that they have little concern of what happens. Our boys from Vietnam come in here and tell us that a man is hit by an automobile in Vietnam and nobody does anything to pick him up lest he be responsible for him the rest of his life or interfere with the man's fate. Now, our divine experiences are tied up to a love of the human race and the people in it. And they have worked out a method by which the outcomes of divine experience are practical, efficient, living. In other words, it took this divine experience to form a culture that could make people who could conduct scientific investigations and conduct business and industry.
Pardon me, sir, but you're trying to tell me that you don't approve of LSD?
I don't approve of it in a big way, because it's a tension reliever that's pleasurable. And when you take tensions away from the human race, you take away the motive which should make them operate and try to solve their problems. If a fellow is going out with a girl, and he's, that's my girl, and I proceed to find this very frustrating and take some LSD, I'll bet you any amount of money, he gets the girl and I get the dream.
You know, I think that's the best analogy I've heard all night. I didn't care too much for Dr. Leary's analogies, but yours I understand thoroughly.
No.
And, Dr. Leary, I'll put it to you this way. Thank you very much, sir. I'll put it to you this way. You take LSD, I'll take the girl. And we'll be back with you in just a moment. Dr. Timothy Leary, whom I'm sure all of us associate with LSD. What is your name?
My name is Bruce L. Simon.
All right, sir.
Dr. Leary, I think the what LSD will do for education in a number of years is very obvious. I think those who hesitate now, well, we've seen people hesitate in the past on the brink of something which is very valuable. I think we should belay a number of fears in the general public as to how it will be regimented, who will distribute LSD, and when, and for what use in education it will play. I'd like you to tell the people. I'd like to know myself how you feel about this.
Have you ever taken it?
Yes, sir, I have.
How many times?
119.
119. How old are you?
I am 21.
21?
Yes, sir.
It's very interesting. When did you find time to do anything else?
It is not very difficult. I might say that things become a great deal easier while under the influence of LSD.
Well, let me ask this of you, Dr. Leary, if I may, and then answer his question, of course. Do you suppose that for a young man of 21, that finding the easy way is the answer?
Only if it's the correct way, sir.
And you determine that it is correct once under the influence of LSD.
Oh, no, sir. I'm told of my actions. I am in full consciousness of my actions. And I assure you, those people around me are conscious of what I do.
While,
if I did something wrong, they would let me
while
know.
While under the influence of LSD, this is going to be a difficult phrase. While under the influence of LSD, have you ever committed any act, no matter how small or large, that you might be ashamed of if you had never taken LSD?
I would never do anything I was ashamed of at any time. I hope you wouldn't either, sir.
Well, this is very, very sweet and peaceful and very godlike, but you did not answer my question. My question was this, young man. You have taken LSD 119 times. My question is this. Have you ever, during any one of these trips, 119 of them, committed any act that, had you never taken LSD, had your thinking been the same prior to your first trip, you might feel some guilt or shame about?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
Not to your knowledge?
No, sir. Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to establish is that once you take LSD, this justifies everything because you suddenly have this so-called awareness that you didn't have before.
No. Alan, you're just wasting all of our time.
Not really, I'm not wasting it. And hold it, doctor.
These are just your own
hold
fantasy.
It, doctor.
These are just your own
hold
fantasy.
It, doctor.
These are just your own fantasy.
You got it said, now listen to me and hear me out. Don't ever tell me you want to hiss? Wait till I'm through, please. Are you presently on a trip? Is that causing you to hiss? Doctor, I respect you. I respect the fact that you are a PhD. I respect your knowledge. I respect everything about you. But you, at this point, have just done what so many other people who have a crusade going are guilty of. All of a sudden, you wave your own flag in such a fashion as to be completely intolerant of anyone who disagrees with you. That's what you do, and that's what all of your followers do when they hiss. I simply ask this man if he had ever done anything that he would be guilty of. Now, do you want to answer his question? You do remember asking one.
Yes, sir, I do.
Hello?
The question had to do with the educational uses of LSD. LSD is going to be used in education in the future. I want to say one thing in response to Alan's comment about something easy. LSD is not easy. It's the toughest, longest, and hardest road to knowledge around. Everyone that doesn't take LSD avoids LSD because they're afraid, because they know that you're going to get into something that's faster, more powerful, more incomprehensible than anything you've ever known. The use of LSD takes longer than any other instrument. The computer, jet planes, these are simply the toys that man's mind has developed. When you're dealing with LSD, you're opening up instruments which are 2 billion years old, the human nervous system, the human cellular structure. It takes a long time to learn how to use LSD. It's no shortcut. It's no instant mysticism. It's no instant psychoanalysis. It's tough, hard work. Did you want to say something, Alan?
No, I'm listening.
LSD will be used in the future in education to speed up learning, to intensify memory. It's an enhancer of creativity. The reason that we are bogged down in our individual lives, or, for example, in Vietnam, is because we get into these chessboards of symbols where we can't move. It's in a stalemate. When you take a psychedelic drug like LSD, you get a different perspective of it. You can see a different point of view, and you can move out of the stalemate. But LSD is going to do more than that. Before we get to the educational uses of LSD, we have to start with the individual and the family. There are present in the United States many thousand families that I know of who are using LSD regularly. They use it the way Catholics go to Mass or the way Jews go to the synagogue. They take LSD together, husband and wife, deepening their marital relationship. Parents and children take LSD together. They really find out what the parent-child relationship is
what
about.
What you're saying is that families that take LSD together stay together. Dr. Leering.
Yes.
Let me go on record with you that I have no objections whatsoever to LSD being used in controlled experiments by men of science working with mentally ill, because I am aware of what has happened with medical doctors, psychiatrists, in institutions using LSD to try to understand the schizophrenic patient, for example. I have no objections to this any more than I would object to when penicillin was first discovered being used experimentally, because this must be done. This is research. I do have a tremendous inner negative attitude toward LSD being spoken about, being used in the same fashion as one goes to the corner drugstore and orders a soda.
Well, I agree with you there.
But how many people have you given LSD to?
Well, our group over the last 6 years has given LSD to over 3,000 people.
3,000 sodas. Are these 3,000 people...
No, come on.
All right.
I want to agree with you. LSD is our sacrament. We don't want to see LSD sold in vending machines or in the drugstore any more than the Catholic priest wants to see the host distributed, or my friend from the Episcopalian Church. He doesn't want his sacramental wine in the drugstore, neither do I. And nothing I've said tonight can possibly imply that I want mass distribution quickly of LSD. Didn't I say a minute ago that LSD is the longest, most difficult discipline of all?
How do you stay away from it
unless you're willing to
LSD
in a state of grace for serious and important purposes.
In a state of grace.
That's what you're
doing.
Now,
it is purely to be used religiously. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain your apparent self-belief that you are qualified to judge the mental, moral, emotional, spiritual makeup of 3,000 people?
What's this?
You said that over the past 6 years you have administered this or sought to it, you and your group, that 3,000 people took LSD.
Yes.
Then I am assuming that you have set yourself up as one qualified and able to judge
these
3,000 people and their ability to take this and have the proper response to it.
Yes.
Then this makes you not Dr. Leary, but what shall we call you, God? Of your own group, of course. You've taken 3,000 people, Doctor, and you've given them LSD. Do you, one individual, Dr. Timothy Leary, feel qualified to judge these 3,000 people in their ability to accept what they might learn or see on this trip? It is a hallucinogenic type of drug.
You have to compare our giving LSD to 3,000 people to other research groups. The facts of the matter are that our research group, which started at Harvard 6 years ago, involved more trained people, more doctors and professors, who gave more, published more papers. We've given it to more people. We've done more hard work. When we say that we know more about judging and evaluating to whom LSD should be given, I'm not saying I'm God. I'm simply saying that we've done the hard work. The psychiatrist's been going around publishing papers and issuing press releases without having given LSD. Dr. Goddard of the FDA, Dr. Luria, the great spokesman in New York City, has never given one case LSD. It's the whole, we're not God at all. We're simply hard-working, dedicated men, very open to learning what this is all about. And we've made mistakes, but that's how you learn in science. And of these 3,000 people, there isn't one of them that can come before me today and look me in the eye and say that we didn't do our best and that they didn't benefit from the experience.
How about the four cases of prolonged psychosis?
I include them. One of them called me last night from Washington. He's got a good job with the Peace Corps, and he's doing fine.
What is your name?
My name is Penelope Palucha. And Mr. Burke, it seems to me that no one really tells what really takes place on LSD.
Have you ever taken it?
I did, yes.
Tell us what happened to you.
You see, I first heard about LSD that it was a religious experience and a consciousness expansion. And I bought the book by Mr. Riley, Psychedelic Experience, and it impressed me very much. So myself and my friends decided to obtain LSD and take it.
Did you have any difficulty in obtaining it?
Well, a little, not so much.
Not too much?
No. Well, the thing is this, as I said, no one really tells the truth. There are three things that take place on the LSD, only three and no more. First is hallucinations, like to me it was the devil was standing beside me laughing at me.
Did he look like?
He looked like a real devil.
Does a real devil look like?
Well, he had the face of the man who sold me the LSD.
Oh, he had the face of the pusher. All right. Right. Now, we've got that established. He had the face of the pusher. What else did he look like?
Well, and he had horns. And
he had horns.
Like a devil.
Did he have a long forked tail?
I didn't see that.
Oh. Better luck next time.
So that's one thing that takes place under LSD. The second thing that takes place is the kaleidoscope that you see. It is in space, and it comes at you, and it's horrifying. It's just plain horrifying. The whole experience of LSD is horrifying. It's the most horrible thing that can happen to a human being. It is, I call it the devil drug and the hell drug. That's what I call LSD.
The devil drug.
That's two.
Dr.